The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you here on TKR, and always glad to come your way. And I can't tell you how privileged I feel every time we visit in this manner that you are taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to my remarks and perspectives, and hopefully pick up something that maybe had not occurred to you or you're not aware of. That's what we try to do here on the show. I don't come from the school that tells you or presumes that I have the right to tell you what to think, but I like to think that I give you things to think about. And let's start today by going back a week in time to the anniversary of September 11th. It was the 23rd anniversary of that horrible day in 2001. We don't need to rehash the terrible details. But last week, the Biden administration, which is either they're like the old joke. Would you say the Biden administration is not knowledgeable or just plain stupid and or ignorant is the better word. So I guess ignorant or indifferent is the way to phrase that. Is the Biden administration ignorant or indifferent? And their answer might well be, I don't know and I don't care. Because to release the information they did last week on the anniversary of the worst imaginable terrorist attack that claimed the lives of 3,000 people, that is the day, September 11th, 2023, when they officially notified Congress that they had brokered a deal with Iran to trade prisoners, five Iranian citizens held in custody in this country, in exchange for five Americans jailed in Iran. And I really don't know the complete stories on the individuals involved here in terms of the respective people that were incarcerated, but I can tell you of the knowledge that I've gained that without question, the five people jailed here in America were all legitimate charges of either spying or stealing information or actually functioning as operatives of the Iranian regime in this country. They were all charged with legitimate crimes. The five Americans arrested in Iran were mostly people visiting relatives, people with dual citizenships or a passport that were in the country and were gathered up and accused of ridiculous charges that really do not have any validity because none of these people are operatives of our government or were there in any official capacity. So the question then comes up, why were they arrested? And it is a sad fact, but why they were incarcerated is because in these kind of regimes, and Iran is the worst offender of all, they become bargaining chips that the Iranians can use to benefit what they're trying to accomplish. And what they're really trying to accomplish right now is creating as much havoc in the Middle East. They are unquestionably and indisputably the leading financer of terrorist operations in the world, including Hamas and Hezbollah, also Al-Qaeda. The Iranians fund so much of the terrible things that these organizations are responsible for. And there's, again, no debate whatsoever about that. So the bottom line is the deal that was announced on the date of the greatest terrorist attack, that we have reached an agreement with the biggest provider of terrorism support in the world. I don't know if this administration is just tone deaf or just downright dumb, because, you know, wait a day. That is not an announcement that anybody wants to hear in any of the 365 days on the calendar, but certainly, absolutely not on September 11th. And yet that was the day that Congress was informed that this deal had definitely been cut. Oh, and one other just minor detail to consider, the 5-for-5 prisoner swap. That's great. American families are going to be reunited with their loved ones. There's nothing that is better than getting somebody out of a bad situation that they've gotten themselves into in a foreign land. Great. But it's not just a 5-for-5 swap. No, this administration also threw in kind of a pot sweetener in this deal, and that is that $6 billion, with a B, $6 billion in frozen Iranian assets in South Korea are also going to be released back to the Iranians. Now, you might ask yourself, $6 billion, wow, that's a big sum for a country whose infrastructure and citizens' lives are marred with impoverished conditions and really a lackluster quality of life, because this regime focuses on mainly the development of an atomic weapon, which is exactly what the world, probably the last thing on the list to give this crazy theocracy of people that are ruled by ancient principles that they cannot let go or update. And it's a regime that is murderous to not only others that don't agree with their philosophies, but also their own people, because when they dare protest, they are arrested, jailed, and frequently tortured and even executed. So this is the most evil regime on the planet, and we are making deals with them and now releasing $6 billion that has been deprived of them in foreign banks to achieve the goal of not allowing them to foster any more chaos. Well, now, okay, we're going to trade 5-for-5 and give you the $6 billion. But of course, this administration always has a contingency to those kind of announcements. And the next part of the announcement was, but the $6 billion is going to be in the hands of an independent arbiter in Qatar, the country that has kind of been in the middle of brokering the deal, because the Iranians will not negotiate directly with their American counterparts because of resentment of policies administered during the Trump administration, which really hammered down on them. And of course, Trump's taking out their chief security and terrorist expert, Baghdadi, and eliminating him from existence. So they will not work with us. The nuclear deal that the Obama administration had originally brokered with Iran was immediately gotten rid of and thrown out the window by Donald Trump's administration. As soon as Biden took the oath of office, John Kerry and the boys were right back at it, trying to revive that agreement with the Iranians. But it was not direct negotiations. The intermediary in all of that, and, you know, hold on to your backsides when I tell you this, the intermediary between the Americans and the Iranians discussing the nuclear deal was none other than Vladimir Putin and the Russians. Now, you might ask yourself, we're sending, I think the running tab right now is about $70 billion to Ukraine to defend themselves in this war, this invasion from the Russians. And yet, In another matter, they're the intermediary negotiating with the world's leading sponsor of terrorism. In representing our interests, the Russians are going to broker the best deal for America. Are you kidding me? The Iranians and the Russians, excuse me, are firmly in cahoots. And you talk about two friends and a stranger. This is the ultimate scenario. Apologies. Leading up to that. So that's how absurd the situation is, that we're even talking to these people, these despots, and handing them $6 billion with the excuse that these funds can only be used for humanitarian purposes. This is a regime, again, so evil and so cruel to their own citizens. Sorry, I'm having a terrible frog in my throat here. To their own citizens, to think that they're going to adhere to those standards, that this is going to be for humanitarian purposes. I mean, give me a break. That's laughable. And it was laughable after that announcement by the State Department, because the president of Iran and the Ayatollah of Iran both came on with statements of, that's our money. We're finally getting it back. Rightfully, and we can do anything with that money that we choose to do. We're not going to be told by they call us the evil empire. We're not going to be told by them what we can do with our own money. So it's all public relations BS. It's only for humanitarian purposes. The Iranians don't see it that way. They're going to get $6 billion to fund all of these different branches of people wreaking havoc all over the world. Now, why is that bothersome? Here's the reason. I watched a lot of coverage over the weekend, read a lot of articles. I didn't see one reference to something that was absolute airtight American policy for so many years. And now apparently it's been tossed out into the trash pile because nobody references the fact. And as soon as I say it, you will recognize it. The United States does not negotiate with terrorists. Okay, so there we go. We don't negotiate with terrorists, and yet the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the world, we've been negotiating with night and day for many, many years. This ridiculous nuclear deal that they were going to curtail their rapid development of weapon quality uranium, and the United States was going to release more assets in exchange for that. A total joke, because if you read the agreement the Obama administration negotiated, there was no real checks and balances in that. Inspectors were not going to be allowed access to Iranian developmental plants. The Iranians shifted gears and said, well, we're still going to have a very aggressive nuclear program because we need to develop power plants for our citizens. But they're not going to allow intervention by observers and monitors to make sure they're adhering to their side of the deal. Not to mention the fact their partners, the Russians, who are brokering the deal. So that means a broker is somebody who negotiates with both parties, with in mind the interests of both those parties. Do you think the Russians have any interest or could give a happy you-know-what to anything the Americans want in these deals? It's just laughable. So guess who benefits by this nuclear program that the Americans have unfrozen billions of dollars to allow them to finance, and it's not for the development of weapons. Yeah, sure, that's I'm sure that's the case. But the Russians are going to use their expertise to come into Iran and build numerous nuclear power plants for that country to utilize. So there's another country that, because of this endless war on one front, is behind the scenes trying to negotiate a sweetheart deal where they're going to benefit from a lot of the money that we've had sanctioned and we're denying Iran. That's another part of that equation. But the slogan is, we do not negotiate with terrorists. And every meeting, whether direct or through other contacts, is exactly that. We're negotiating. And guess what? What I've started off in the very beginning of this podcast telling you is that the hostage situation of people being taken, and we saw it at the end of the Jimmy Carter administration, where 80 some odd American hostages were held for over 400 days. Ronald Reagan came into office, and as the Carters were flying out of Washington and Reagan was on his way for his inauguration ceremony, those hostages were on a plane being released from Iran because Reagan said, enough of this BS. We're not negotiating anymore. You release those people or else. And that's how you deal with a bully. That's how you deal with someone who has got evil intentions. You don't negotiate. You take a hardline stance and just tell them how it's going to be. But we don't have that kind of administration here. We didn't during the Obama years. Donald Trump came in and was the new sheriff in town and really got them in line for the 4 years he is in office. All of that's been thrown out the window, and the world is a much more dangerous place. So you want more irony? Okay. We don't negotiate with terrorists, but here's $6 billion for humanitarian purposes. I've already told you what the Iranian leadership thinks of that. That's just public relations crap to assure you and me that this is a good deal because we're getting five Americans back. And again, I don't diminish one speck how significant this is. And if it was not one of my family members, I don't care what you do. Get my wife, get my husband, get my sons, get my brother or sister, whoever it might be that's unfairly being held prisoner in a foreign country. Do what you have to do to get them home. But you cannot, once again, get into that territory where every time they pull off one of these heinous acts, that you are going to reward them with this kind of deal. That's why the slogan holds, you do not deal with terrorists. And even if there's terrible costs in terms of the humanity involved and the families and the poor people that are incarcerated, who probably made a poor choice to go to such a hostile place anyway, it doesn't, again, diminish their release. But it certainly casts a lot of shadows of despair in the future, because anytime they're inclined, they'll just grab a couple people, trump up some charges, and hold them until the Americans pony up a one-sided deal for their release. Now, here's some more irony. Of the five Iranians that we are releasing, two of them have already stated, that's great, my slate's clean. Well, guess what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here in America because I like it here. I don't want to go back to Iran. Probably fearing that they will be, tortured and maybe even killed there for, revealing themselves or however their individual circumstances were. But they're not even leaving this country and may go right back to the same kind of activities that got them arrested to start with. So the whole thing is kind of absurd. We're trading five people for five people, but the $6 billion is very disturbing in light of all of the abuses and the way this evil regime conducts itself. And the other part of the story is, as we speak, the Iranian president is en route to New York City, and you'd say, wait a minute. Why is any Iranian, especially one of their regime leaders, allowed to come here? It's because we still are the world hosts of the wonderful organization we know as the United Nations. And this week, the General Assembly meets, and we are getting all of these people from all over the world representing their governments, most of whom, I won't say most of whom, but many of whom are involved in all kinds of insidious different wars and conflicts and terrorist activities. And we are actually going to give this guy from Iran a forum to stand on a stage in the heart of our biggest city, which again is something that's very irritating to those of us who know how many bad actors there are in the world and how the United Nations is just a shell of what it was intended to be. And it's totally ineffective. And it is just an opportunity for bluster and, you know, gamesmanship for people from Russia and China and Iran to supposedly be a representative of the world representing their countries. But their agenda is not the benefit of anybody else other than their own evil purposes. And the United Nations is a complete joke. And the fact that our tax dollars are used to finance and the ability to host this world organization. You and me are paying for a bunch of guys that really don't belong or should not be allowed to set foot in this country to come in and run their propaganda and all of their nonsense justifying the evil acts and the different things that all of their regimes are doing around the world. So the United Nations is kind of a joke. I do want to pivot to another quick subject that, you know, in this country, you keep hearing this progressive left movement saying about how many people in the United States are, quote, a threat to our democracy, unquote. That's the tagline. I saw an interesting story, and I've been reading about this, but in Israel right now, there's a terrible conflict because democracy has resulted in what democracy is supposed to do. The will of the people electing leaders has spoken in Israel in the recent elections, and right now in their Knesset, which is like their Congress, they have a strong majority of traditional people that want to restore Israel to what it was previously, which is a country that was based on a lot of religious edicts and things of traditional values. And yes, one could say it's a step back to a very conservative approach after several times in recent years where a lot of the controlling forces in Israel have been on the, I guess you could say, more progressive side, similar to what we're seeing here. You've got a lot of factions in Israel that are very solid citizens. A lot of their military people, their military reserve people, because everybody serves in Israel. But you've got a lot of protests in the streets, and it's been going on for months and months because this new government, who was duly elected by the voice of the voters, so that's how democracy works. Individuals and parties that take charge implement policies to reflect the wishes of their electorate. And there's always going to be a big pocket of people who absolutely push back on that because they are not feeling represented right now because a lot of their views are being changed and altered, and that's how democracy works. But democracy is a great thing to protect and talk about being threatened as long as your side is in power, and that's what you see. There's a lot of grousing in Israel right now about their Supreme Court, who's still basically more on the progressive side than this traditional government that's now been elected by the people. So there's a lot of struggle going on there. But here's the difference between them and America, because I heard a media outlet even say recently that, you know, they're having the same problem over there with the right wing, the extreme right wing, trying to seize power of the government and trying to threaten the democracy and will of the people. Well, that's not true in Israel because the will of the people was to elect these folks that are in office. What's happening here is not any kind of right-wing movement. This is the people in power in this country right now with a majority in the Senate and having the White House forcefully trying to impose their policies to not completely alter our traditions, but to ensure that their stranglehold on their current power remains the same. And when I say that, it's not the right that is pushing for judicial reform and stacking of these Supreme Court with partisans, increasing the number. It's the side that's in power. So you've got a completely different dynamic here in Israel and some other countries in Europe that have taken steps back in this direction to get things back on track after overly progressive left power mongers have pushed too hard and driven people to put back in more traditional values and what would be considered conservative viewpoints. It's happened in Italy and Sweden and Hungary, particularly in recent years. So every dynamic is different, and some of them are religious-based. In Israel, it is certainly grounded in traditional Jewish values that led to the formation of Israel to start with. But it's a different kind of conflict than here because, again, it is the group that's in power that is trying to push for radical changes because they want to shore up their stranglehold on the American system right now and ensure that they will be in power by taking away the ability that a democracy provides for people to throw them out of office when they push too hard. And that's what's happened in other places, and that's what they're trying to prevent from happening here. So it's a completely different dynamic. So if you hear some snotty commentator, Ivy League diploma in hand, saying that this is the typical of the right-wing movement that's happening all around the world, that is total BS here because it's not the right wing that is calling to pack the court and calling to amend long-standing Senate rules that are checks and balances against one group or another having and wielding absolute power. This is the group in power here that's trying to effectuate change to keep their grip on what they have. It's not a movement pushing against the people in power that are not doing what they want them to do, as in some of these examples from around the world. That's just some food for thought today. The bottom line, America has never had a policy of negotiating with terrorists. And right now, that's exactly what we're doing. And if that doesn't disturb you, because once again, the old adage is true and cliches are cliches, but you give a mouse a cookie, the next thing he wants is a glass of milk. And that is exactly what happens when you start giving in to terrorists in places all over the world. They can just start snatching Americans because they know that that policy is not in place now. And until it is, we're not safe. And we're not secure. That's Need to Know for this week. I'm Kip Kiefer. Don't miss Tony Curry and I this week on Kiefer and Curry. We will be kicking around the subject of interest and never know where that's going to go, but appreciate all the great feedback I get from that show. And also Saturday morning, 10:30, ABC 3340, Kiefer and Curry present the starting lineup as we will look at all the football weekend big game here in Alabama as the Tide hosts Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels and the Auburn Tigers go to Texas A&M to take on Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies. All kinds of great stuff happening. Kiefer and Curry and Kiefer and Curry's starting lineup. Don't miss a minute of it. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a fantastic week, everybody.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.